Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are the Lazy Book Lovers. Oh, we forgot to turn the fan off. Things,
and now the plane's going past.
Do we start again or? Nah. This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading have never-ending to-be-read piles. Oh my god, by the way.
Yeah, go on.
I just listened to approve the recording on episode 131.
You have to tell me which one.
Or 32. That was like our summer, no.
Summer reads.
That was our trad.
Me a blast. Oh,
that was sorry. Our trad releases episode.
Right.
You remember it was a lot of chaos because it was really hot?
No, yes.
That was the one where we had ice packs on us.
Oh, yeah.
Right, it's so funny. I've done loads of recordings and I'm gonna pretend into an Instagram reel or like a TikTok.
Oh my god, it is.
Because we're so unhinged and funny. We spent a good 2 minutes talking about cartoon characters.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah. Do you know what? I've thought about that a lot since. Whenever my son's watching animated films, I'm like, would I though? I think, not long after that, I was like, hey, you haven't watched Robin Hood for a while.
Hey, I need to play you some of them after this, because it's so funny.
Maybe we...
I had a great morning.
We will finally... I will finally upload to TikTok. We can use these clips.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to, create something with them, because it's so funny.
So if you didn't listen to that, go back and find
it's proper funny with so much chaos.
Was it like 131 or something?
131 or 32.
Cool.
It might have been 32.
Just go and have a listen to it. Listen to both of them.
Anyway. That is...
But today...
No nonsense today.
No. We've actually been really calm, actually, since I arrived.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just catching up about life. Mm. Life in.
The kids in the garden.
If you are in the UK right now, hope you're safe. Hope you're feeling okay. We're not going to talk about the politics of what's going on right now. Just hope you're all right.
Yeah. If you want to hear my opinions, just go look at my Instagram stories on any day. I'll be ranting.
Yeah. But just hope everyone's doing okay and is safe and isn't too scared. All right.
Oh my God. Okay.
I haven't
sorry.
Even told
I
them
know
what
you're
the topic
about
is.
Oh, yeah. But can we just talk about all the cute little clips coming from, the Olympics? Oh,
I'm such a baby now. So everyone, when they're winning, and they're all excited because they've won, I'm crying.
Do you know what? I don't
I'm
watch it.
I'm fucking sobbing watching all
watch
the Olympians
any of
winning.
It, but I see so many clips on Threads. And there was, one, and I'm not infantilising any of these people, but there was one where there was, this, I don't know what sport it was. It was just a clip, completely out of context. There was the two people that had won with biting the gold. Mm. And there's a little person next to them from a country I don't know, because I don't know their costumes, their outfits, kits, whatever. And she had a silver one, and she looked at them holding it, and she thought it had to go to her mouth. So she just put it next to her mouth. Oh, I mean... I'm not infantilizing her. It was so cute. And I'm sure, you know, she won silver. I'm sure she's very talented.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, just some of the clips are so
The one so of the trampoline girl, when she realises she's won and she just collapses to the ground sobbing. I'm like, oh, you did it, babe.
Yeah, and there was one where this woman, I think it was in German, I don't know, but she didn't know she'd got silver medal till the reporter was asking her, how does it feel to win silver? And she's like, I got silver. At least in German, but you can understand.
You know, the Jamaican athlete, I think she is, I can't remember her name, who won gold over Simone Biles in the gymnastics.
Oh.
So this is an all-black podium. It's a world first as well.
Yeah, oh.
And then...
Ladies, Simone, killing it.
Simone Biles is obviously famous. She's got all these gold medals. And she's been saying in interviews, this Rebecca, her name is, she's really close. She's really close to beating me. And then she does beat her.
Yeah.
So her and the other American bronze medalist, they bow to her at the podium.
Oh.
So it's this picture of them, bowing.
It's just so nice.
And, Simone is, an older person in the sport as well, because gymnasts are usually typically quite young. The girl who won...
She's tiny, isn't she?
She's 4'8".
Yeah.
The girl who won is quite young, compared to Simone. And, you know, there's a tradition of giving each other your flowers. So they gave her their flowers. And I'm like,
Honestly, seeing all of these athletes from various countries just showing that you don't have to be cruel to each other.
There's sportsmanship.
There's that selfie that that guy took, and there was like South Korean, North Korean, and Chinese athletes in the picture. Obviously, I don't know how well that'll go down in.
There was people but, online being like, is it safe? Yeah. For, like, is this going to hurt them? Like, people from North Korea? Like, just like, yeah, the sportsmanship. Yeah. And then people have been sharing old clips, like the one of the guy who, like, he tears his hamstring doing the 100 and it ends his career, basically. Mm. But he's like trying to hop to the finish line and his dad scales the barriers. All the attendants are trying to grab him. Yeah. And he's like, you can see him being like, fuck off, it's my job. And then he runs onto, this is in like in the fucking Olympics. His dad runs to the to the track and walks him to the end of the
so he crosses the line. I love him.
And it's like a it's a career ending injury.
And he wanted to cross that line because he knew that was gonna be the last. And then there was that guy who did the high jump and he knocked it down with his penis. So, you know, it's just brilliant. There's so many great videos.
The guy
that
beat the world record on the pole vault, and people were like, now everyone knows you got a small dick though, bro. It's like, he just set a new world record, run gold.
People have been sharing the most beautiful, like, reels where they're just like, this is what people tell you being a strong female athlete looks like. And it's all those, like, you know, like the finspo and all of that. And then it's like, this is what strong female Olympic athletes look like, and all of the different body shapes, it's just so lovely to see.
I've seen those ones, and like the rugby athlete, she's on TikTok quite a lot, she wears, because she like, she's quite, I want to say, I know I don't want to use this word, but I can't think of a better one. She's got masculine-ish features, but she wears makeup on the field, and she's like, because femininity doesn't have to be one thing.
And masculine and feminine features are very subjective and are what we've said they are, you know. I'm sure there was a time period then when what we considered to be masculine features would have been considered the height of beauty.
I mean, that whole controversy, which we're not going to touch because we're not going to get political today.
No.
About the boxer.
Yeah, I know. I've been avoiding mentioning it.
Yeah.
I share enough about it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But people shouldn't have their wins tarnished. Is all I'm going to say.
There was a lot of misinformation that spread like wildfire.
Which is cool. Which is like...
And I can really tell people I work with come from a certain area. I have to drive a bit. I commute to this place. And I have realised that I exist in my queer little bubble.
Oh, yeah. You gave me that voice note. I meant to reply and I forgot, but yeah.
And I am realising how much of the information I have learned from being on the internet is really like trickling down just yet. I mean, the fact that some of these conversations are happening is progress. But I am having to pipe up to be like, hey, here's the actual truth or the actual information or the right way to say what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm not offering my political viewpoint. I'm just sort of going, hey, here's a thing I know.
By the way.
From the internet. Yeah. Do with that what you will, scuttle away. But the thing with that, when that boxer that was being talked about, I was just going, not true, by the way.
Yeah.
Not true.
I appreciate...
Not true, here's the information. I was like, are you looking for information? You actually look... Politics aside.
Do you want
the information?
Yeah.
And that's all I've done.
I appreciate the people that jumped on the bandwagon and then actually posted an apology.
Yeah.
And was like, I was wrong. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you can get caught up in shit, and as long as you
are willing to learn and grow.
Yeah. And share that outwards as well. That shouldn't just be a personal thing. If you are happy enough to spout about other things,
yeah,
you should also be confident enough to say to your followers, I was wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So today. Oh, God, we're nearly 10 minutes in.
Oh, maybe we'll just call this at the end. It was mostly positive, our little Olympics.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
Though.
We didn't really touch the political side. That's my thought, really.
They unanimously voted to include e-gaming in future Olympics as well, which I'm very excited about.
Right.
That might be something I'll watch.
Okay, so today, on the book podcast that you came here for.
Not the Olympics podcast.
We are doing something a bit weird, a bit different. I just thought it'd be fun. It might not be. Who knows?
be the judge.
So basically, we've both come prepared with the names of five love interests from books.
I don't know
about
names, but I know the books. I'm going to have to look at the blurbs.
The bloke from that book.
Yeah, that's
the girl
much
from
where
that
I'm
book.
Yeah. You know that one.
Okay, we've come prepared with five love interests from some books. We'll find out who they are, hopefully.
Oh my god, Gav would go mad. Like, yeah. Our editor doesn't
enjoy the lack of prep on occasion. I've prepped.
Yeah.
See, I've got a notepad.
I am the slacker these days.
Chaos monkey. So, we've got five love interests each. And we're just basically going to talk about, we're going to rate how unhinged they are. I've come up with a rating system, which she has not heard, because I've decided to get her live reaction.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
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 We're going to give them a cinnamon roll rating. Because I've not just done the crazy ones, I've done a few cute ones.
Okay.
So, only one of these is probably going to get a cinnamon roll. No, we're going to give them a cinnamon roll rating.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Okay. And then we're going to give them a rating. I think it's going to be a 1 to 5. We're going to do 1 to 5. If this is a real man, how far should you run?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
1 to 5.
IRL.
Yeah. In fiction, daddy?
Daddy?
1 to 5. As a fictional man.
Do you know who is an absolute daddy? I don't even know their name. You know the actor from House of Dragon, Emma something?
Oh, yeah.
Emma DeCasey? The one that was behind that TikTok sound about
Negroni.
Negroni. Daddy. Emma
Darcy.
Darcy, that's it. Yeah. Emma Darcy. There we go. Daddy.
Do you know what, right? When that sound was trending, it's actually when I was in Dubrovnik, you know.
Oh, really?
And so I did a TikTok with that sound, the vista over Dubrovnik with a Negroni, which I don't like, by the way, it was vile. But I was like, I got it for the video.
For the content,
at this point, I didn't know I didn't like Negronis. I discovered this shortly afterwards, after paying €12 for this fucking cocktail.
And then did it fail?
The video flopped
hard. No.
And I was like, ugh. I had a little book, so I had a book, and I had the sunset, and I was like, this is going to be great.
Re-release. Repost.
I was so excited for it.
I'm so loud. Yeah, okay, we still haven't even got through the scale.
No, that's it. That's my three. We're going to use cinnamon roll, real man, run. In fiction, though, daddy, 1 to 5. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's test this out. So we're not going to, do a great job of explaining the plot of these books. We sort of assume that you're from the BookTok, BookTube, BookTagram sphere. And if you haven't read these, you'll know about them in some vague way. That's what we're assuming. We're going to describe a little bit, but yeah.
It's just going to be silly.
It's just silly, goofy fun
silly,
time.
Silly, happy fun. Yeah.
I think before this is a rec list, after this we've got a rec list. So if that's what you're here for, go there.
We just needed a break.
Yeah. Needed some... It's
silly, goofy fun.
So we need some silly, goofy fun time. Okay, Reese from Akatar. Have you been living under a rock?
See, this is where...
Hmm?
We almost overlapped, because he was on my list.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, whether we needed to...
But I've got someone else from Akatar.
Confer.
I went for the other one.
I didn't do any of the Akatars, because I was trying not to be too obvious.
Okay. So is this just our practice run?
He's number one on my list. Okay, but I figured we can use him as a good... He's a well-known love interest.
Yeah.
So he's a good practice run. So Akatar, I don't know, it's fairies, multiple courts. She starts out in one court. He turns out to be an asshole.
She's human.
Becomes not human.
Human young little girl, and he is 900-year-old Batman.
Yeah.
Batman. Batman, daddy. Batman. Let's just do superheroes. Loki,
you're more
daddy.
Into the superhero thing than me, though.
I would just do my own personal ranking. When my
stay
son,
tuned at the end.
When my son talks to me, Mum, what's your favourite superhero? And I'm like, sexy wise, or in my head, obviously I don't say that to him. I'm like a Batman.
Oh, I saw Deadpool, by the way. It's very good.
Oh, we're hoping to see it because we want to do like a date night and go see it.
Yeah, do it.
It's funny as fuck. My son saw a poster and was like, can I go see that? And I was like, no, you can't see any of them. What are you talking about?
I do know someone who went to the effort of cutting out all the swear words and like the inappropriate bits from Deadpool and cut it together to make a movie just so his kids could see Deadpool.
Oh, I bet it's like 2 minutes long.
It was Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
I love it. We get worse as they go on, to be fair.
I've seen some clips of Hugh Jackman's body.
Yeah.
And mate, you're in like your 50s. Yeah, calm down. You don't have to go to the gym anymore. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, also, you can coast on that.
Feel free. Like, still say fine.
Anyway.
I love that they are just two mates that wanted to do a film together, so yeah, they made it happen.
Yeah. Literally. And right at the beginning, they're like, yeah, we're gonna not even respect the storyline that like Logan ended with.
Mm.
We're going to desecrate that. Right,
this is our own thing.
Right off the bat, at the start, they're like, by the way, we're going to completely desecrate this storyline.
Love it.
Anyway, Rhysand. Our female love interest in this is Feyre. She becomes not human. I don't know how to. Spoilers, I don't know. I think, actually, just assume I'm going to put this at. In the description, assume all the characters we're discussing here, it's probably going to be spoilers. Yeah, so I don't know how we're going to do this without spoilers.
Yeah, we'll just do it. I don't think anything I've got to talk about is particularly recent, so...
Yeah, so she becomes Fae, and then she moves courts, but there's actually a big bad who's in charge of all the little big bad in the first book. And that's kind of the story. She gets powers, they defeat the big bad, blah, blah, blah.
Rhys goes on a bit of a an arc of like disliked to loved to, for some people, disliked again.
Yeah, so like all of book two and
I'm in that court.
Yeah, me too.
He ruined it at the end.
Well, I'll get to that. Yeah, because I have a theory about that.
Okay, I don't believe about it. Whatever it is.
So over books two and three, it's him and Feyre kind of like overcoming their trauma and falling in love.
Oh my God, everyone talks about how he's like feminist icon.
Yeah. In books two and three, maybe.
Yeah.
And in these books, he's very much about like Feyre's choice being important, empowering Feyre to get past her own traumas and to be able to protect herself and learn how to control her powers, teaching her to read. It's very much like Feyre's choice matters. And then in the last book,
well,
Feyre's choice apparently no longer matters.
The first book from the next lot, anyway.
Yeah, well, the last one that's come out, Court of Silver Flames, Nesta's book, which is when we change POVs.
Yeah,
and that is
she's getting a trilogy, right?
I thought the next one was going to be Elaine's book. That's the rumor on the online.
I would just take a Nesta trilogy, please.
Yeah, I mean, Nesta is a very controversial character if you're into the world of these books.
Yeah, if you don't like
people
her, you're wrong.
Really hate her. And the book groups that I'm in on Facebook, a lot of them fucking hate Nesta.
Oh my God, Feyre's not that great, calm down.
Yeah, and Nesta is so much more nuanced, that's the point of her.
They're all, you know, they're all supposed to be human in, you know, not human, but you know, no one's fully bad.
Yeah. So that's why I think his arc takes a downturn, because we're seeing things through Feyre's eyes up until that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're all full of love eyes and rose-tinted.
Because there's like some of the things he does and says without Feyre's being like, I understand him.
Mm.
What come across from the outside as controlling and dickish.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
From the outside, because she, you know, and they mind talk a lot, so a lot's not being said out loud.
Mm.
So, like, what from the outside, if Nesta doesn't know what they're talking about between their heads? So the conversations they have in private, where they've both agreed that she will never contradict him publicly.
Yeah.
But privately, they can go at each other about their choices and decisions, and then come back out with the changed decision that's unified.
Mm.
So there is that thing of, like, from an outsider's perspective, Rhys would probably look quite dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
And would you want your sister with that? The king of the night court, like the guy in charge of the court that's supposed to be famous for torturing people, like, even if he's like morally against it and doesn't take part.
Nesta hasn't had like the 3 years of getting used to the Fey world like Feyre has as well.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, complete spoilers for Silver Flames. When I was pregnant, if my partner had kept very important life-threatening information from me, I would have been really fucking pissed
off. That's like the real world equivalent. My body,
not his.
The real world equivalent is you being your doctor telling Nick that you've got like preeclampsia, which is quite dangerous, and then just not telling you.
Yeah,
that's like the human equivalent I can think of for that.
Like I don't understand any of that decision. I don't understand why it was written that way.
To keep it from her.
Sarah J Maas has been so staunchly writing Reese as a perfect golden man.
All about her choice, her having choice. And then he, like, takes that choice away from her completely.
Could she not have thought of something better to put, like, to
as the conflict, give them
the conflict.
Yeah.
Still daddy, though.
So if we list Reese's crimes, I mean, in the first book, he is playing the villain in order to keep his court safe, is the narrative we get. In the second book, the explanation of his behaviour in the first book is that he played the big bad because his court has a reputation of being the big bad to protect their city of freedom and equality. His night court is divided between the ones who live in the underground mountain, who are horrible, horrible, torture, evil.
Yeah, that whole setup is very weird.
Yeah. It's an agreement that predates him, apparently, that he's stuck with.
Still very weird.
Yeah.
These are my people, fuck off. These are my people.
These are my torturing people.
In utopia.
Also, we use their army quite a lot, but shh, don't talk about that. We don't let them hurt people except the enemy. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Because it's just easier than teaching them not to be, like, homophobic and racist and rapist or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, they have Valaris, the City of Starlight, which is, like, equality, all fairies are equal. There's no high fae or low fae. Everyone's equal. Everyone's loved.
You can make a career painting.
It's a utopia. And he has both of those, and then no one knows about the secret city. Mm. So Reese has then played this horrible big bad to keep the reputation going. And also it's made him kind of be the right-hand man of the big bad in the first book. Mm. When you learn that she's sort of coerced him into sleeping with her, there's a whole, like, trauma there. Like, that was always against his will. That was abuse.
I mentioned this in one of the books I'm going to talk about. Mm. But I do get a bit bored now. It's used too often of writers just saying these male love interests are dicks because of trauma. And that's the one person that can bring them out of it. I'm bored of it.
I call it the tragic backstory TM.
Yeah, we've gone through that phase.
Yeah.
Especially
if you read any dark romance or dark fantasy romance. Bored. The tragic backstory TM is used to justify the man's behaviour and justify the woman's acceptance of the bad behaviour. And I'm like, this is literally gaslighting cycle.
Yeah.
In action, but anyway. So those are his various crimes. What's the dodgy shit he actually does in book one?
Well, he steals her from a wedding.
That's book two.
Okay. But I'm just saying that's one of his dodgy crimes.
But book one, he binds her to him in a bargain.
Yeah, he's barely in book one, really. He rocks up
at the end. It's the trials and all that.
He rocks up for the festival, whatever it is. And saves her life or whatever.
Oh, yeah, saves her from the fairies.
And then he sends her music to help her in the thing.
So he does good things for her.
He kind of basically helps her get through the trials.
There's a bit in there where she's crying and he licks her face, apparently to distract her, which is just bizarre if you think about it.
Oh, nothing turns me on more than you licking my tears away.
With them, I'm like, we've got a broken arm that's festering.
Just lick my face like a puppy, please.
Apparently he did it to piss her off and to break her out of it, which does work because then she gets all pissy and forgets she's sad. So, but still.
He forces her to learn how to read. Right. Damn.
Yeah, his crimes really do come later, I guess.
Yeah, like at the beginning, he's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Mm, okay.
Okay.
So what's Cinnamon Roll rating for 1 to 5?
At what point in his story? This is the problem.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be based on him at the end, which unfortunately is going to be quite negative.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is literally...
Are we taking an overall average?
It is literally Court of Silver Flames. I don't know what was going on. I don't know why Sarah J Maas wanted him to be hated.
Also, that conflict makes no sense in that, like, they can literally... Like, book Two, Cassian's wings get essentially torn to shreds. His guts get torn open. Mm. They can heal that magically. They can't do a fucking caesarean, though.
Yeah, I mean, it also...
Excuse me?
Also really highlighted the fact that Cassian would never, if it was Nesta. Never. This also brings to mind how loved Azrael is, because we don't actually bloody know anything about him. So the fans have made him out to be this perfect
Shadow Daddy,
guy.
Yeah.
So I hope he never gets a book, because it'll be ruined. He won't live up to our expectations.
The few glimpses
he's
we get...
already like trying to play two girls off each other. I don't want to be there for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in love with, like, his best friend for, like, 300 years.
Yeah.
And the whole time she's gay.
Well, she's not, is she?
Yeah.
That's anyway. A very poor attempt yeah. at diversity. Okay, so cinnamon roll, licking tears.
Sending her music.
Just making very poor decisions about her medical. This is a magical world. How can they not do a caesarean?
Exactly. Like, literally, they bring Cassian back from the brink of death twice, but they can't do a feckin' caesarean. Like, are you kidding? No. Oh, for those of you who don't know, don't care about reading the books, Feyre gets pregnant. The child is half Illyrian. Illyrians are born with wings. She does not have the birth canal designed to birth wings. And so they're like, basically, giving birth will rupture you and kill you. And, like, the baby will rip its way out of you.
They also have sex whilst they're flying.
Yeah.
Which
is, like, claiming is why the baby's definitely
going to be
Illyrian.
Somehow that can work, but...
Yeah.
Okay. I will give him... I will be kind. I'll give him a high cinnamon. I like to think that he made that decision because he's been, in his mind, nice guy TM.
Yeah. Because he's, like, trying to protect her and not stress her out.
Yeah, because he's worried about her being pregnant. He also accepts all of the paintings she gives him as gifts, which is nice.
Which, like, I love the ones where, like, where it's, they're just shit paintings.
Just
and everyone's just
back.
Really nice about it. You know, like, oh, not another teen movie.
Yes! You have your mum's eyes. Love that.
That's why I picture whenever they talk about famous paintings.
That was one of my most favourite films when I was younger.
You know what? I never watched it till I was older. Someone, one of the jobs I worked at, made a joke about it. I was like, what are you on about? And she's like, how have you not seen this film? Yeah. Go home and watch it. So I did.
I got it out of Blockbuster like when it was a new release. And then I literally had it out of Blockbuster like every month.
That's so funny.
Oh, if you don't know what Blockbuster
is,
you're
really
too
showing
young.
Your age. Yeah. This is for millennials. Okay, so what are you going to give him? Out of 1 to 5, I need a number.
Which...
One is not, five is
Sydney.
Sweet little sugary baby boy.
We'll give him a 3.
All right, I was going to go 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what about if this is a real man in the real world, run?
Oh.
1 to 5, 1 being you're safe, 5 is run as fast as possible.
I'll give him a 4.
Okay.
I mean, he's got wings.
Okay, but if he was like a...
No, I'd give him a 4. He's all a right. bit too controlling.
Yeah, and we've done some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah. He also killed a load of people.
Yeah, he's done a few war crimes in order to keep this one city safe.
Yeah, he's also happily letting a load of his citizens just torture each other and whatever.
Yeah, but also...
Just being like, not my probs.
Yeah, when the whole thing with the big bad in the first book happens, he chooses to save one city and leaves the rest of his country to rack and ruin.
Yeah.
Just, like, a part of his trauma is, like, that was a sad decision.
If
that,
you're, like... You know, a prime minister, you can't just leave your poor people to die. No politics this episode.
No politics. Okay, what about how much of a fiction...
He also keeps sending his girlfriend / wife and his cousin or whatever down to these rapists in barely any clothes. And he's like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Just wear that dress that... With no underwear, and I can easily touch you up in front of people. It's okay.
This is the court of whores.
If this wasn't a romanticy, it would be like one of those dark mafia.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yes. You know, like in we spent way too long on this, but this is our test one. You know, in Riverdale, when she has to do that ridiculous strip dance to get into the to get into the gang
biker club. Yeah.
<Is that? laughs> Oh, God. Okay. But how... So, in a real world, run.
Yeah.
But as a fictional man, 1 to 5.
5 is daddy.
Daddy.
Yeah.
All right. He's a wife. There you go. Sophisticated sister.
Oh, I love it. Would you agree with those?
Yeah. I was going to do, like, different things, but we sort of agree on a lot of shit, so.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay, who's your number one? We need to talk so much faster. Oh, my God.
Okay, as we've already been discussing it, let's do Lucien.
All right. Oh, you like... Look, I'm not a Lucien fan.
This is going to be fun.
This is controversial, because I don't like him as much as you do.
Or we could do Tamlin, because Lucien's not really... Let's do Tamlin, because I'm also, different to... But is he a love interest, technically?
Yeah.
He's a love puppy, like, wants to be a love interest. Yeah, let's do him.
Let's do Lucien.
Okay, so
I've given you the shit version of ACOTAR. You explain Lucien's role in this.
So, at the beginning of ACOTAR, Feyre is dating someone called Tamlin, who has his own entire arc.
Yep.
He is really hated, and honestly, don't think he deserves the hate. Don't think he does. So he is the one that she is supposed to marry when she gets kidnapped by Rhys, I mentioned earlier. And he has a best friend called Lucien, and he ends up being mated, like fated.
Fated mates
with Feyre's sister, not Nesta, the other one, Elaine.
Yeah.
And then he turns into sad little puppy dog, desperately, just literally, like, chasing after, like, woof, woof.
But, like, Lucien and Feyre's banter in book one is great.
Yes.
It's probably the only good thing about book one. Book one's, if you're familiar with the ACOTAR world, everyone knows she's got to get through book one to get to the rest.
He's, like, the bestest best friend. And then for some reason... It's like Sarah Damas just didn't want to continue that, so just didn't.
Well, no, he's being loyal to Tampon.
Tamlin. Yeah, but even when they're together, like, they don't have that banter anymore, that spark.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just...
Yeah, well, then when he ends up in Feyre's court and he sees her for reals, he's in love, and he's like, you betrayed us so much, but also, Loki, you get it. Tamlin isn't really bad to you.
Mm.
I was complicit. He's like, all right, to list his crimes. In book two. Feyre, at the beginning, is very fucking traumatised from the events of the end of book one.
Yeah.
So is Tamlin. Tamlin copes with that by essentially locking her in the house.
And, overprotecting.
Yeah, but not acknowledging her trauma, not teaching how to use her powers.
Yeah.
Wanting her to be a pretty little doll that sits there.
Yeah.
And looks pretty and has no thoughts.
Yeah. Head empty.
And he does some fucked up shit to achieve that. And Lucien is complicit in all of it.
He is.
That is his crime.
Yeah.
That and Sad Boy TM.
Yeah, because it's icky.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Because, like, Elaine is sweet and cute and very blurry. I hope she gets the story, because I reckon there's a lot more going on under the surface with her. Yeah. And
I assume he's also complicit in the big Tamlin, what's the word I'm looking for?
You know, where he betrays them and sells them out to Highburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big bad. Mm. The big, big bad.
Yeah. Which... I did have a jaw drop at that when I was reading.
Yeah.
I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
I've been a Tamlin apologist and you've gone done this.
Yeah.
You dick.
He let you down big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the moment. So I was like 2 books behind everyone else and I was like, what a wanker.
I mean, it is an escalation of being like, hey, this guy that we literally had a civil war that my father fought in on the side of the bad guys. but I don't agree with what my father did, and I fought side by side with Rhys, who I now hate. He's like, literally, I fought against this guy back when, and now he's like, I'm gonna join forces because I'm sad that she left me.
Yeah, I'm like crying my little lame tears, even though she's not my fated mate, obviously. So
yeah,
I can go find my fated mate, but no, I'm just gonna tithe my poor people.
Yeah.
And so cinnamon roll for Elaine is a 5. It's gross, but yeah, it's not like positive cinnamon roll. It's what cinnamon roll, if that makes sense.
So
what do you think?
You're 5.
Because cinnamon roll to me can be a positive or a negative.
I think he's like a 2. I really don't like him as a character. Sorry.
Don't say sorry to me.
Yeah.
Sarah J Maas is failing hardcore.
She could have done some cool shit with him.
Yes, she really could.
Especially the banter
have.
In book one with Feyre And, like, he still could have been loyal to Tamlin without being such a fucking doormat.
Yeah. And I feel like he really could have been a good friend.
And given his backstory as well, like, it doesn't always match up. But this is Sarah J. Maas's writing for you. Mm. This is a real man. How fast does this person need to run?
5.
Agree. Mm. Fictional daddy racing, though.
1. Wait, could it go to 0?
Yeah, actually,
he spends most of his time just being a doormat to someone.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably because...
His only redeeming quality is the banter he has in book 1.
Yeah. And that he does kind of save the day in book 2. He's the one that goes to the other continent and gets help.
Yeah, but now he just cries about Elaine.
Now he's with his little house full of spare people that no one loves.
Just like, the house of spares.
That's literally what he calls it as well. It's just like all the unwanted people that nobody loves.
And not just in terms of like the world, but in terms of the book, like Sarah J. Maas just parks them there till she's ready for them to do something.
For Fairy to be like one of my closest friends, like, bitch, you haven't spoken to him like a year. He's been in the... I mean, he did exile himself there, but still, supposedly. All right.
Yeah, he gets like, he hasn't got wings. He's not that kind of like fae.
Yeah,
he gets like dropped off at the whatever, so he can't even get down without being carried by someone with wings.
I love the images of him being like carried in like Asriel's and arms, like,
like a wedding carry.
But like, what? How else are they going to carry him?
When you visualise it, like, it's hilarious, isn't it?
Because like, what is he going to do? Like, koala cling on the front?
Yeah, that's what I want. I want him to be like koala cling.
Or like, is he just? Are they just holding him under the arms and he's just dangling, facing forward? That's like a
like
cat.
A baby, you know.
Like, either way. Yeah, because you can't get on their backs.
Like, I used to always...
The only, maybe, quote marks, manly one he could do is get on their backs because their wings are in the way. I used to always
picture him, like, thrown over the shoulders, but the wings are there. He can't even be doing...
Would you picture him being fireman carried, but with wings? All right. Moving on from the world of Akatar.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a short episode. Turns out we've got a lot to say.
I thought we were just going to bum.
Now we've got a lot to say about this, apparently.
It's been a while since we've done an Akatar chat, so hopefully now it's out of our system.
Whew. Okay.
I want to reread them now for lols.
Yeah. I've got the audiobook, so. Okay, this is another one we both got briefly obsessed with, so we're tapping into another old hyperfocus.
Oh, no.
Kaz from Six of Crows.
I did consider putting him on here.
I nearly put so many more Six of Crows characters and I stopped. Okay, Six of Crows.
The thing that I find hardest about Kaz is he's like 17.
Right, let's just stop picturing a 17-year-old in this. In the abstract. We've got to abstract him as just
I see so many people like, when they give this low reviews, they say they talk like they're too old. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
But also, I think when it comes to fantasy world, you can't expect them to talk at a maturity level that matches our world.
No.
I will allow it in fantasy
worlds. Traumatized, he's literally a gang leader. Like, what?
Yeah, I will allow it in fantasy worlds. If it's like a 17-year-old in England that's talking like a 30-year-old, I'm like, get the fuck out.
No. But he did like paddled to safety on the back of his brother's corpse. Like, that's not going to make you a normal person.
Sad boy, TM.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tragic backstory, TM. Pretty fucking tragic.
Yeah. We will allow it.
That's what I'm like, you know what? Fair enough. You get to be a little bit fucked up by that. Fair enough, my guy.
And they had a scene where no touching happened. And I was like, this is the sexiest scene I've ever read.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can't remember what episode we squee about that, but we do squee somewhere.
Yeah.
In the last three.
I was listening
to 130 episodes.
I was listening to that as an audio at work and I was sitting there like, ee!
I found an artwork of that scene. It's on my blog in a few places. I have to find it for you.
Yes, please.
Good to explain shitly the plot of Six of Crows. If you haven't seen it, we've got a gang. Our guy is like number 2 guy in charge of this gang, our main character Kaz here, but like the guy who runs the gang is a bit jelly because he's really good at it.
Yeah, Kaz basically runs it
in all but name, but the guy who's in charge is a bit jelly of him.
Mm.
They get the opportunity to do a heist and he brings together his little network of thieves and whatever to bring them all together to be like, you're all going to come with me on this heist. We're going to win lots of money and be set for life. And then I'm going to kick the guy in charge out. I'm gonna run this part of
bitches,
the slum part of the city
with my gloves and my cane.
Yeah,
he's a disabled king.
Yes, so he got injured a few years ago being in the gang, and he's so he's got a cane
which he uses to put people in their place.
Also is a bit stabby. It's a stabby king.
Yeah, and he's got a touch thing, so he's always got gloves.
Yeah, so the tragic backstory is before he joins this gang, a plague sweeps through the city when him and his brother are made homeless because of other things. And him and his brother are thrown into a body barge, which is where they were taking bodies away from the city to burn them to try and stop the spread of the plague. He was not dead, but looked dead because he was very poorly. And then he wakes up on the body barge next to his brother's body in a pile of rotting corpses. And that's not good for a 13-year-old child, funnily enough. Or 12, he's really young.
Do you know what I just realised?
Yeah.
We said we were going to have spoilers because we're going in the assumption that people have read these books, and then we're still
explaining it to them. People might not care about spoilers, but still be listening. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
No, that does make
sense. Yeah.
And I also just want to paint a picture before we get into the... I've got to paint the picture.
Paint the picture.
And then he paddles to shore using his brother's bloated corpse as like a boy.
Inflatable. Maggot-fested
boy. Yeah. So as a result, touching skin makes him sort of flash back to his brother's dead corpse.
Not very good for sexy times, I'm sure.
No. Like the first time he tries to kiss a girl, I think he vomits. He is ruthless, but like has morals. Like, we don't hurt children or like anyone like that.
No, he's a cool ruthless guy.
He's a ruthless killer with morals. I don't know.
He's so, in love with his employee that he owns. he bought her contract.
Yeah, so our female love interest in this particular scenario, she was kidnapped, forced into slavery, signed a contract without being told what she was signing, sold to a brothel. And the brothel, because slavery is illegal in the city they go to, and it's more like
indentured from like a circus as well, wasn't she?
She was a nomadic people.
Yeah, yeah.
Who travel from place to places as a circus. So
I don't know why that bit always sticks out to me. It's hilarious in this world.
It's just these circus people. Yeah, so she gets difference in tone. Sold into indentured servitude, which is
it's like on his brother's corpse, and she's just like juggling. Sorry.
Are you done?
No, but I'll try.
So she's sold into indentured servitude. But because of her circus training, she's a sneaky, sneaky good climber, and Kaz sees that and is like, hey, I'm going to buy out your contract. You have to pay us back through work for us. I'm just going to ignore you. You can see laughing in that corner.
Yeah, she's like the only one that can sneak up on him, isn't
she? Yeah. So then he basically teaches her how to be the best spy that ever was.
I want to be. Wasn't I like, we're gonna have a really calm episode, and then I've just gone off on one. I'm picturing her like painting her face like a clown. That's the problem.
Scaling a building
with clown makeup and a red nose.
Anyway, she becomes a very good assassin / spy for him. But also he's sort of low-key in love with her and won't admit it to himself until like book two.
Everyone's totally aware of it.
Book one, he's like, I'm protecting my asset.
Everyone in their little group is aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then something bad happens to her, and he's, like, super, super fucking bad and upset, and he's like, maybe this is about more than protecting my asset. Yeah,
it's that line, doesn't he, about crawling through glass.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the line is.
I've got it pinned somewhere.
Yeah.
Guns blazing, knives drawn, and of course, blah, 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 because that's what we do, we survive that whole place. Yeah. I feel like this isn't going to be a very hard rating scale. Cinnamon roll.
For her?
See, I think he's a big squishy cinnamon who's been forced to be a big bad boy.
Yeah, I think for her he's a cinnamon roll. Yeah. For everyone else, fuck you guys.
Well, no, because, like, think what he does for Jesper, what he does even for the posh little rich boy whose name I can't remember. He does quite good things for them. And then, in the events after the book where we visit him in other storylines, when you find out what he's doing for the city as sort of the kingpin running things.
Okay, I'll give him a 4.
Thank you. I'm glad I could persuade you.
Yeah.
I forgot to do your rating. Oh, my system's collapsed. Hold on. I was supposed to do your ones down here and my ones up there.
Uh-oh.
And I've not done that. However, if this is a real man, how fast should you run? That's a 5, surely.
Yeah.
That's not even a question. Okay, but fictional daddy.
5.
I mean, daddy, you wouldn't be able to touch him.
And he's a lot younger than me.
Right, in this scenario, you're We're also pretending... 17.
Can we both be like mid-20s?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Daddy.
Why didn't you put him to your actual age?
Because I don't want to be my age.
Okay, what's your second one?
I hate my age.
Such a grown-up, boring age.
And also, if I was in that world, I would have died by now.
Oh my God, yeah, the plague would have got me.
Okay, so this is kind of a twofer because I actually can't decide who's more toxic. So it's okay. Just, you can decide which one we do.
Okay.
Nick and Amy from Gone Girl.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think maybe I'm leaning towards Amy as the more toxic, the more toxic of the two.
Yeah.
Or the one we should discuss.
Yeah.
So, Gone Girl is also a film now, so I'm sure you've either read the book or seen the film, because it was very big when it came out, wasn't it? So this follows Nick, whose wife Amy goes missing. They've been married for like 5 years, I think. It basically looks as though he's killed her. There's lots of evidence found that he's like, what? I didn't know about that. It turns out that she, in the big wonderful reveal, that was actually really like jaw-dropping when I read it, turns out that she has, what's the word I'm looking
for? Orchestrated.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. It all, and she has actually gone on the run and has done it all because she found out he was cheating on her, basically. Yeah. And is happy for him to go down for her murder just because he cheated on her.
Yeah.
And she has a big monologue about being a cool girl.
Yeah, I do like the cool girl monologue.
That is quite a good monologue. I think it's quite, I think it would pair quite nicely with the Barbie monologue. Not the one that Barbie reads, the one that America Ferrera reads.
Yeah.
So loads of like secrets come out as the police investigate it. And then about 2/3 of the way through the book, we switch to her POV of her planning it all, and then she is staying in a motel and gets her money stolen, so she has to go and stay with an old ex-boyfriend or a guy that fancied her. I think he was an ex-boyfriend.
No, I think it's a guy that always fancied her, but she never, that ended up being really rich, which is why she goes to him.
Yeah, and then she kills him and sets it up as he was the one that kidnapped her.
Yeah.
And then it ends on a really, like, horrific note of her being pregnant and a baby being born into that. Because her and Nick get back together for the media kind of side of it to pretend they actually love each other. And she's pregnant and, that poor kid.
Yeah, it's a different ending to the movie.
That's the ending of the movie, isn't it?
No, in the movie she's not pregnant.
Is she not?
In the movie, she fakes a miscarriage at the guy who she says kidnaps her house.
Uh-huh.
Because she does a whole... No, am I misremembering this, actually? I might be lying. There's a whole bit where she makes sure on camera she's seen bleeding.
No, that's just to show that he's been attacking her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I think it ends when they're in the shower and she tells him she's pregnant.
I don't remember that. I remember it ending with them in the room upstairs and all the press are outside.
Yeah.
And he's basically like... You put me through this for why, blah, blah, blah. And then she kind of gives him, like, she's like, you know, we're even Stevens now.
Yeah.
Like, who else is going to love you but me? Like, blah, blah, blah.
You're screwed, mate. Yeah. Yeah, so she is, I would say, pretty toxic. I think, yeah, she's the more toxic out of the two. The general relationship is quite toxic.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, you know, try to frame her for murder, so...
Yeah, arguably she does the more fucked up shit. Yeah. All he does is cheat and be a guy.
I mean, we're not excusing guys for cheating. but, yeah.
he does everyday transgressions rather than like
the thing crimes. The thing that annoyed me in the change from the film, change from the book to the film, is in the book. I mean, fair enough, this is actually from Amy's perspective. But in the book, when she finds out who he's cheating on her with, she is really offended that the woman's bigger than her in terms of, like, body shape. Again, that could just be because it's Amy's perspective. And she's just like, oh, she's so fat, Lyra. Mm. But in the... So the person he cheats on might not actually be that way. But in the film, it's a very slim, beautiful-looking woman. And I kind of wish they'd kept that part. I just feel like that might have been...
Well, especially as they do make this whole thing of, like, once she leaves him, she just puts on weight because she's like, I don't care. Yeah. I can eat whatever I want now because I'm not trying to be cool girl anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she loses it again to the ex-boyfriend, the guy she goes to stay with.
Yeah.
Who's like, you're letting yourself go. Harris. Yeah. Mm. He does play a good creep.
Yeah, he also plays a really good straight man as well.
Mm. Okay, so I feel like...
Oh, also, my son was watching The Smurfs the other day and he's in the film of The Smurfs and...
Yeah, he's in everything.
I was like, no, Patrick Harris is asleep. Why do these big actors do these films? Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
the money's got to be good.
Yeah, that's one thing, because my son watches like Chipmunks and all. Well, I try not to let him watch them because I hate them. But I'm like, why? Why are all these big actors in these films?
I think they just to bring big names to the films, genuinely.
But I can excuse... I thought about it and I was like, I excuse people like Neil Patrick Harris because he's got small children.
Like Justin Timberlake.
So he's probably doing films that his kids watch
as
well. But I don't understand...
Justin Timberlake.
They can't be paying them enough. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, he's in the Gnomes. What's the Happy Trolls one? Because he did a song for him.
Oh, it's going to ruin the tour.
I've been loving those memes. Oh, my God. All right, come on, we need to crack on.
Gone Girl. She ain't no cinnamon roll.
No, she's a zero cinnamon.
Yeah, zero cin.
If this is a real person, do you run fast.
Run. And she is not a daddy.
No.
Sorry.
We're not good for Amy.
I feel like we're letting the team down for women here, but...
Yeah.
You know, you ain't got no wings, so what can I say?
Okay, so my number three.
She's also the only person on my list that doesn't have some form of, like, magic or something. Isn't, like, paranormal-esque.
Well, the kind of fucked up fictional stuff. It doesn't, you know.
And daddy. Yeah, sorry, your one?
All right, so my number three is Wrath / Samiel in Kingdom of the Wicked. That series.
I've not read this.
Yes, you haven't read these. So he's sort of the devil.
Ooh, some daddy.
Important context.
Tell me more.
So we've got, it begins with, we've got witches in Sicily. It's a community of witches in Sicily. Mm. And some weird shit's been happening. And then her twin sister goes missing, and in trying to find her, she calls up a demon from, like, the demon realm. She's like, does a spell that kind of forces him to do her bidding and not hurt her. She's like, you're going to help me find her because it's someone from your side of the fence who's doing this. Has done this to her.
This is your problem.
Yeah. Mm. And then we discover that whatever her sister was into is very intertwined with the seven deadly sins. And they're all this guy Wrath's brothers.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they all rule in sort of this underworld, otherworld kind of thing.
Ring to rule them all.
But we kind of learn over time that Wrath is sort of the one in charge of them all. So he's the sin that's sort of the devil who is in charge of everything.
Okay. That sounds fun.
Yeah, and he brings her to the underworld. They end up kind of married, and she's against it in the beginning, and then she's like, Loki, like... And there's a couple of... Like, overall, big, big temper, because he's Wrath.
Mm.
So, but never, ever, ever hurts her or directs it at her.
But never, it's like ever.
It's always in defence of her. So this is, like, good for the who hurt you trope
thing. Okay.
So there's a bit where she gets, like, poisoned, and he takes care of her, like, for days and days while she's recovering, and he puts those of witchy stuff out, like, he knows which, like, rituals for healing. Mm. So he does witchy things and gets her all these flowers, and she wakes up surrounded by flowers, and she's like,
Am I dead?
What's going on?
That's what I'll be thinking.
When Lust tries to sort of like ensnare her, he's like, well, we're not doing anything because like you're under my brother's powers. Like we're not doing anything. So he doesn't really do any bad things to her. There's a bit where he like rips down a whole mountain like out of anger because she flirts with someone in front of him. And that was all meant to be for show as well, so that people wouldn't know their true purpose of what they're trying to even figure out. And then she's like sitting on some guy's lap and he gets so cross that the ceiling caves in.
Wait, what's this called? Kingdom of the Wicked.
It's a really good series.
Yeah, I need to read this.
And it turns out...
Just look it up, hang on.
It turns out that where she wasn't really Sicily. It was actually a realm within the other world that was fake, that was a very clever prison for her and her sister, who are very, very, very powerful witches, like the original witches. Aww. So it goes fucking off the rails at the end of it. Where we're walking to the whole time, this is like, what the fuck? Like, you don't see this coming. Oh. So that might have been a quite big spoiler for you, but you're going to forget it by the time you read it. So I'm safe to tell you.
In like 5 minutes, don't worry.
So yeah, the whole time she doesn't know who she really is, and she's really not what you think she is. Whole time Wrath has known.
That sounds fun.
But like, was waiting for her to get it back on her own. Yeah, from what I remember, although he is literally the devil, to her, he is always very respectful, very kind, all about her choices.
Women write the same guy. It's almost like we all want the same guy.
What, just respect you as a human being? The bar is crazy. So low.
Well, the only place we can get this is in a fantasy book.
So there's a lesbian on TikTok who keeps been popping up. She does skits and she's got shaved hair. I don't know. She's like quite slim, quite pale.
No.
Anyway, she did this skit that was like when I'm dating a woman who's only ever dated men, and it's like, oh, I got you this from the store because I was thinking of you and I know you like them. And she just walks off and she turns back. She's like, baby, why are you crying? And she's like, it was just so... She's like, baby, it's just crisps. Baby, it's okay.
It's okay. Funny.
I didn't think I would make you cry. She's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
I remember like my ex, the first time we were like only just started dating, or maybe we weren't officially together or whatever. And he took me to a McDonald's drive-thru and we got a McFlurry and he paid for it and didn't expect me to pay for it. And I literally cried in the car. So
it's just, the bar is so low.
It's literally in hell. I mean, your book, it's literally in hell.
Literally hell. He's literally the devil. So
running real life, run away.
It's a 5 for real life. But a 5 for daddy. Cinnamonness.
Cinnamon for her?
Cinnamon for her. Feared dude by everyone else.
So it needs to be less than Kaz.
But he's also feared by everyone.
But he also does cinnamony things for
other people. Oh, yeah, he does nice things for other people.
So I think that he should be a 3.
I don't know, he's respectful to his servants and stuff.
Oh,
and his courtiers.
He doesn't beat up his servants.
I know.
What a cinnamon roll.
I'm going to give him a 3.
It's up to you, I've not read it.
I'm going to give him a 3. Let me know if you guys disagree with me. If you've read them. All right, which is number 3. This is such a long episode. Quick, go.
This is going to be our fast episode, isn't it? Twilight. It's going to be Edward.
Oh, okay. We're not going to fucking explain this part of that.
No. Go watch the films.
I love that sticker that Kia's have got. This is the skin of a Kia Bella.
I've not seen that.
You've not seen it. Oh my God, I got a car sticker that I'm really excited about. It's the Tell Your Dog I Said Hi one.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay.
So,
let's jump straight to it, I guess.
Not really a cinnamon, I don't...
No, he's not. He's not. Even the nice things he does for Bella are all, like, creepy and cringy. I actually can barely
remember nice things he does for Bella.
Yeah. Then he opens doors for her, even though she fucking hates that in the books.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's getting a...
Everything nice he ever does for her is like
creepy.
I'm gonna save your soul. So he thinks
he feeds her sometimes, and he
But if she's like, I'm not
plays the piano for her once.
She's like, if she's not hungry, he's like, eat. You need your strength. No. So it's still, even that's done with a veneer now, of controllingness.
I'm now picturing that scene in Akadol when she gives him the soup. Oh, and then God. I'm hearing the good soup. zero, I guess.
It's a zero. Oh, my God, your side of this chart is very sad. I was
trying to find him some redeeming, but no.
If this is a real man, run. It's a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
100% run.
And he's not a daddy. He's whiny.
Yeah, he's not.
His skin glitters. What are you talking about? No, that's not a bad thing, because Carlisle would still get it, so.
Yeah, Carlisle's daddy, you're not. Yeah. I'm so sorry to my brother who's editing this podcast.
Emmett, Jasper, nah. But Carlisle.
Yeah. That's when you age up into, I think, Carlisle.
Oh, yeah. When you stop caring about Team Jacob and Edward and you start thinking Team Carlisle or Team Movie Charlie.
Yeah.
Daddy.
oh, my God. Have you seen that actor, Charlie, was in something else? He's in, like, a thing with firemen, isn't he? Or something, a series.
Maybe.
But I saw a behind the scenes where they're just taking the piss out of him.
Yes!
For being fancied in Twilight. Anyway, yeah. Edward is a zero.
Yeah. Sorry, dude.
You did bring a lot to the plate here.
Me?
Yeah.
Or Edward. Let's blame Edward.
But, I mean... Oh, no, see, I had... My crush was on Jacob when I was at school.
Yes, yeah, same.
My mum was on...
Yeah.
I think that was the sign, because although I was dating skinny white boys in real life, I think my brain knew.
I just wanted, like, a best friend, I think. I've always been a bit partial to friends, to lovers, even though that you was have not been. What Twilight was.
No, he was in love with the unborn...
No, we're not even going to go there.
Inside her.
What in the Mormon craziness?
He was in love with the soul of
Edward's
the unfertilized egg inside her.
Edward is too Mormon in his we have to be married before we can have sex. He's like however old and is a virgin. Come on.
No,
like,
he's not though. Because he gets called out for being a hypocrite by one of the other vampires to do with that.
Oh, does he? I don't remember that.
He's like, my soul is fucked, but there's no reason yours should be. Especially if I'm going to turn you. I'm going to do everything else I can to keep your soul safe. Because you want me to turn you, and that'll condemn you to hell regardless. So he's like, that's why the whole thing is about. And also
why would you keep going to school? Dumb. Moving on.
Just see any interview of Robert Pattinson.
I love it.
During that era. How did he keep his job?
If you haven't and you have access to the DVDs, or Blu-rays.
Oh, God, he's...
The director's commentary for Twilight. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
So, number four on my list. Someone's cooking something that smells nice downstairs.
Just thinking.
I've just got a wave of hunger then, and I've had lunch. Number four on my list.
Yeah, go on.
I've got another classic.
Okay.
From... I tried to go for all people's fantasy crushes.
Yeah.
Right. People do have to be a certain age to appreciate this one, I think. Okay. You have to have read them back in the day.
Okay.
Jace. From the Mortal Instruments.
Ah, not read it. Another one.
Okay.
Tell me about him.
Mortal Instruments, the concept basically is there's a race of people, magical-ish people with enhanced physical abilities who are there to protect humans from demons, from the underworld of demons. There's things like werewolves and warlocks in this world who are races of people that have sprung up from demon diseases that mutated, and they are separate, recognised races on their own, which are now protected by this race of demon hunters, but heavily prejudiced. And, like, the bad ones, obviously, these demon hunters kill. Our main character finds out she is one of these people and has been hidden from her powers her whole life when her mum gets kidnapped by the big bad in search of a special cup he has that does magical things. Jace is the one that saves her. And then she gets brought into Jace's little world. Jace is an orphan adopted by these people who run the institute. Every city has its own institute. It's like unlike the bureaucracy that's in charge of all those demon hunters. It's all very regimented and military. And Jace is like the best of the best of the best of the best, the best one who ever bested ever in his life. And
gold medals everywhere.
And they are like straight away attracted to each other. And then there's a whole bit of the plot where she thinks he's his brother their brother and sister for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So the big bad is her father, and then he tells her, oh, yeah, Jace is also my son. I have a secret son. And there is separate evidence that this secret son is a real thing. So she, like, they believe it, but they're still, like, attracted to each other. So then...
You know, that's got a real name, you know.
Yeah. Where's that thing of, like, if you met your sibling...
If you didn't grow up together.
Didn't grow up together. Because that guy with the 3,000 children or something, that documentary.
Sorry, what?
Have you not heard about this?
No.
Netflix. It's a guy that went around the world being a sperm donor to try and have the most children ever that anyone's ever had.
No.
And he went, literally travelled the world donating sperm. So he's got like 3,000 biological children or something crazy.
But, like, if you, if you grow up without, like, your dad, for instance, and then you meet him for the first time as an adult and you don't know he's your dad, like, there's a lot of relationships that they find out after they're together that they're...
Well, there was one of those, the doctor in America...
I don't know if it's, like, the DNA or something that pulls you together or some shit.
Well, I think it'd be,
fated,
like...
Fated mates.
Because there was that doctor in America, the IVF doctor, who... serviced a very small area of counties and was swapping out donated sperm for his own. Did you not hear about this? No. This documentary that was on Netflix. So he operated for about 30 years. For most of that time, he was using his own sperm and not donated to donors.
Was it just for a power thing?
No, it was like a weird cult he was in about having loads of children. Yeah, sucked up. But he was the only fertility clinic for a number of counties in the surrounding area. So there are 200-300 biological children
that are probably having children and together.
Few of them were dating or married.
Yeah, because it sounds like they're like...
Because they're all in quite... one thing found 6 siblings in the same school. Different age ranges.
That's a lot of fertility issues. In a small place.
We think over 30
Someone
years.
Someone should, like, check the water supply or something. Yeah.
If it's, I mean, it's several counties over 30 years, that's how you end up with this, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not actually illegal in America. It's not prosecutable because he has fulfilled the terms of his contract they signed. He gave them, IVF.
So there you go. If you ever go into this, just make sure your contract states, do not swap out my sperm.
Yeah, I mean, UK has more regulations, but it's still not illegal in America. These doctors are still not prosecutable, even though this doctor had a genetic condition that has been passed to all 300 children. They're all sick with the same stuff.
If he had, like, HIV, he'd probably get in trouble, right? I don't know if that...
If you knowingly pass on HIV, it is a crime.
But his other genetic condition was fine.
Yeah. I think it was heartworm and he had another... motor, I don't know, some kind of... Yeah, anyway.
What a fucking pervert.
If that's a total tangent, oh my God. From Jace. There's nothing to do with it.
So is he a cinnamon roll? Cinnamon bun? Wait, what?
No, because he's a bit broody and wallowy and quite often a dick to Clary.
Is he a bit emo?
Yeah. He's a very much sad boy. Loads of times doesn't tell her things. And that's how he always ends up in trouble as well. Like, the things that happen to Jace throughout the series are literally because he didn't fucking talk to anyone. Because he's traumatised baby.
Mm.
Basically, Clary's biological dad is the man who raised him. Who supposedly dies in front of him.
Mm.
And then that's how he ends up living with the guys in the New York Institute who adopt him. So basically, Clary's mum runs away with Clary.
Yeah.
And the special magical cup and goes into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, his biological son dies. Supposedly. Not really. And then he takes this child from another family, raises him his own son, tells him his dad his whole life. So this is why Jace believes it as well, because this is the man who raised him, who dies in front of him, and then it turns out he's not dead. So, you know, trauma.
Mm.
And then his real biological son is not dead, but is half demon. But for a while, Jace believes he's half demon because they find evidence and they believe he's this Jace.
This sounds so like Teen Wolf coded.
Yeah. So he believes for quite a while that he's half demon, that he's bad.
Sounds like
and
a
that's
CW
why
show.
He's so good at the power, like the magic he can do, the gifts he has. Turns out he was a different experiment because the big bad experiments on all his kids, giving them bits of angel blood and demon blood and things to change their power composition. Jace got angel blood. So that's why he's like, bestie fighting whoever fighted. So,
I'm like a Powerpuff Girl.
Cinnamon roll rating.
Sad Boy TM doesn't give you cinnamon roll.
No, it doesn't.
It gives you needs to go to therapy roll.
We have later series that don't follow this set of characters, that follow other main characters, and these guys appear in them.
Mm.
Jace, healed and grown up, and becoming a dad and shit.
Mm.
Great. As an uncle, he's a son at cinnamon roll. In the actual Mortal Instruments series, focusing on his series, nah, he's a two at best. I'm going to give him a two.
I think we're one. Don't know anything.
Let's
about
do 1.5.
I figure one.
Let's compromise between us. 1.5. Okay.
Run very fast away.
Yeah. He is not always very good to Clary. And she, to be fair, she does call him on his bullshit. She's not a doormat. I have people that think that... I've had this debate with people before. I think Clary, not a doormat. Of other people say the thing that she is.
Okay.
Because my issue with TV series Clary is she fucking cries constantly.
Whereas
she's not that much of a wet blanket, in my opinion. And the TV series is shit.
Is it a CW one?
It's on Netflix. You have heard me complain about this,
don't I have,
you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, he might be a five run. And, I mean,
he's
again...
He's not giving me daddy vibes.
He's not.
He's giving me... Uncle, I don't want to be nearby.
No, he is angsty crush vibes.
Mm.
If you are 16,
yeah,
and reading these books as a 16-year-old, he is big angsty crush vibe.
You can't be a daddy.
He's not daddy though. No. That's not daddy energy.
No,
so that's a one.
Wantslet energy.
All right. Your next one.
The Bargainer from Rhapsodic.
Okay.
A few episodes ago, this Tony is quite recent. Talked about this because she's recently read it, so just go listen to old episodes if you don't know what it's about.
He's all powerful, ancient bargainer dude.
She's not. Well, she is powerful, but she's like 12 when they meet, or something. 15.
So are we evaluate him ignoring the age gap?
No.
Dynamics. Okay.
That's a big part of him.
Okay.
I feel.
Okay.
And a big part of his character arc.
Okay.
And so, for her, he's a cinnamon roll, but it's gross because he fancied her when she was 15.
Yeah.
And he was 9 million or whatever.
And he was biding his time till she was old enough and less traumatised.
Yeah, it gives me grooming.
Mm.
So...
Oh, he's got to be, is he? Is he another zero?
I think he might have to be, you know?
Oh, dang. Okay.
Run away.
Run away, for sure.
Now, daddy.
Five. Well.
Yes, if I didn't know he was such a pedo.
Yeah. Five, but we're not happy about it.
Five.
Reluctant
but I'm going to go to therapy for it.
Well, that's why we've got that if this was a real life man, run away.
Yeah.
Okay, that is our caveat of like, as a fictional person, great. This is our caveat of like, this is not okay.
He's got wings.
Taps the notebook. It's not okay in real life.
But he also trades in like dodgy bargains.
Five with a sad face.
I'll let him give me some
bracelets. I've done a five with a sad face.
I'll let him bracelet me, that's all I can say.
All right. Okay, my final one, who I think is going to be our only cinnamon roll that's clear cut. Peter Mullarg from Hunger Games. See, I've gone for some classics, right? Okay. Notice how I didn't pick Gale of our Love Triangle quote marks.
Okay, but for me...
Right.
A cinnamon roll isn't a pushover.
Is he? It's not really a pushover, though. He just isn't, like, big on violence, right? That's kind of the point of him.
I don't know, I can never unsee the bit in the film when he's painted his face like a log. And he learned how to paint his face like a log because he paints cakes in a district that has no money.
Yeah, who is buying these elaborately decorated cakes? Just the mayor. Like,
I'll have one that looks like a tree bark today, please.
You're telling me that his horrible mother who beats him was like, yeah, you can waste resources learning how to make bark.
Yeah, also, yeah.
Okay, I thought this was going to be an easy cinnamon roll. Because he's obviously a cutie pie.
Do you know who's an easy cinnamon roll for me? Cassian.
Oh, yeah. That's golden retriever energy, though.
Yeah. That's it. For me, cinnamon roll is golden retriever.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Should we give Peter a three?
He can have a four.
All right. I'm not explaining the plot of Hunger Games also because, like, what rock have you been living under? Yeah. You at least know the concept.
Guy paints himself as a cake.
If this is a real man, though, that's got to be, like, a run towards.
Okay, the thing is, if I met him in real life, I'd be like, whatever.
I can't take you seriously.
I would probably be like, you're not going to call me out on my bullshit. I'm not interested.
He calls Katniss out loads of times, though. He doesn't put up with Katniss's shit.
Okay, do you know what?
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't put up with Katniss's bullshit.
No, you're right. Okay, I'll give him that then.
Mm. All right, he's a zero. He's a run towards. Mm. He's our only run towards.
Yeah.
From mine, especially. Oh, no, yours are all fives too. Jesus Christ.
You did say toxic.
Yeah.
We all understood the assignment.
We've fulfilled the assignment.
Peter count that's as what, toxic?
No, that's why I threw him in there as a wild card. Mm. I thought I'd just sort of...
For some people, they really don't like him, I think.
But she was never going to get with Gail.
I don't know why people think that's an option.
It was never an option. Not from her. If you read the books and pay attention, it was never an option from Katniss's point of view.
No. If you watch the film, she clearly should have dated Natalie Dormer's character.
Obviously. So. Just because you love Natalie Dormer.
Yes.
Okay. He's not a fictional daddy, though. He's a zero on the daddy scale.
Oh, yeah. Bless him. I mean, he would be a good dad, but not a daddy.
Okay, what's your fifth one?
Okay, it's a series I spoke about recently. You've not read it. The Broken Bonds series. Oh, the Bonds That Tie series.
Yeah,
It's
on my to-do list. Mm.
Now, there are five love interests. I don't know
how are you going to describe all five of them?
I'm not going to do all five of them. I'm going to do, because I don't want to do any spoilers, because I know you're going to read it soonish. So we're going to do, I'm going to do Gabe.
Okay.
So Gabe is like the golden boy of the group. So he is the only one that's like the same character, the same age as our main character.
Right.
So this is a reverse harem book. I've discussed it recently on a couple of reading updates. I really enjoyed it. It is terrible, but it's really good as well.
That it comes back around to good.
Yeah, but not, yeah. And it's like a 6-book series, and they have magic.
It's fated mates. They have but powers. Like one person that they're all fated to.
They have
to.
A central bond, and then they have their bonded. So our main character Ollie has 5 guys that are bonded to her, of various ages. Some of them make me feel a little bit. Well, she's 19, just over the threshold.
Yep.
And her oldest bonded is 29. I don't know. But they've known about it since she was 14, so.
Mm. We're walking some lines.
In this world, you know, it's bonded. It's like fated mates, you know, you don't argue with
it. Yeah, it's not creepy.
So Gabe is the one that's her age, and he is like, cool guy on campus, all the girls fancy him, everyone loves him, he's like star football player,
right?
Those kind of vibes. And she's always rolling her eyes at him. And at the very beginning, he's like, they have like a bit of flirty banter, even though none of her bonds like her at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he makes a comment of like, are you jealous, when he's seen talking to a girl? And she's like, no, like whatever. And he's like, oh, so you don't want me? And she's like, no. So then he makes it his mission to make her jealous. Yeah. So he's being seen with different girls all the time and stuff. And then when they slowly start to kind of become friends, they go to like a house party, and she's wearing this tiny little itty bitty play suit and her bum's hanging out and everything. And he walks in and his like jaw actually drops and he's speechless and he's like, you can't wear that.
Right. Okay.
And she's like, are you serious? And he's like, no, I'm not serious, but seriously, come on, look at you. And then they become like bestest friends, and so over the course of the book she bonds with them like one at a time. You know, when I mentioned it and I said I think it's just one at a time, it's not, there is some group stuff going on later.
All right,
it's pretty good. Pretty banging. And he is one that, despite how close they are, he's a bit of a later bonded one. And I don't know, it just builds up so nicely because they kind of take their time. And
you're a sucker for friends to lovers.
Yeah, so like leading up to it, when she's not really bonded to anyone, he is one of the guys. So she has him and a guy called Atlas. They always sleep in the bed with her, like, because her bond wants to be near them, and they're not going to pressure her into bonding, because to bond you have to have sex, obviously. And then he gives her his jumpers to wear so she can smell his scent, because it makes her calm and stuff. And then when they bond, it makes his powers bigger. I don't want to ruin it. And then he's like a big, big heavy hitter in terms of like keeping her safe with his powers. Yeah.
All right.
I love it. I'm not going to lie. I love it. He's so my second favourite.
Cinnamon roll then?
I think, yeah.
Is he a five?
I think so. He gives off like not give a shit vibes, but he is a pure cinnamon roll.
Okay, so, okay, this might be our first...
Apart from Peter.
Peter.
Run towards,
run towards, okay.
Yeah, run towards.
When he's doing jealous behaviour, is it, like, toxic jealous or...?
No, it's, like, stupid banter jealous. Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Okay, he gets a I zero, he gets a run towards.
Because they're all being dicks to her.
Yeah.
But when he's been a dick, it's, like, funny. Okay. I don't know, like...
Like, she's in on the joke.
Yeah, like, she doesn't find... She just finds him, like, eye-rolling. Like,
yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Fictional Danny. I feel like I know what your answer's going to be.
Obviously, he's young, but he can protect her. He gives her jumpers to wear, and he can build a house, so...
I think he gets a five.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
When you read this series, can you please...
Wait, when is it... Okay. My TBR lists are now getting a bit more complicated because I'm splitting them out by audio, physical, and digital.
When you read this, can you please give me updates of your rankings of the guys? I've got my rankings because I shared them on a Discord, so I can share them with you at the end of the books. Okay. I did every two books, my rankings.
So I've actually got... So it's a 15-book TBR, but it's like there's an audio, digital, and a physical.
Okay, so where...
Digital's right at the bottom.
Are you doing this as...
Oh, I got it there. I meant to add it.
Yeah, it is there. You've got Sorrow Bonds.
Savage Bonds.
Savage Bonds.
Yeah, I've got the first book in the series.
Broken Bonds is the first one.
Oh, my bad.
So you're going to do it as a digital.
Yeah.
Nice. What's the little timer you've got to do?
Means I'm currently reading it.
Oh, you're doing The Devil Was My Boss in a minute.
Yeah. Nice. I started our buddy read. And I've been leaving comments. I remember to leave comments this time.
This is the picture of him. So that's his one. That's Gabe.
Ah. Well, never really, blonde protagonists aren't for me.
No, honestly, I didn't picture him as blonde. Yeah. Even though they did describe him as blonde, in my head I was like, he's not blonde.
Yeah, I just always... whenever they're blonde, I'm like, I'm just going to ignore that.
Oh, dirty blonde. Yeah, sure.
All right, so there's this...
Because he's called the golden boy, because he has like blonde hair like a halo, and I'm like, all right, he had dark hair, cool.
So there's a podcast called Shits and Gigs. I don't know if any of their clips have ever come up on TikTok.
Possibly.
It's two black guys in London.
No, they have not.
No. Right, they are quite funny. And they did this thing they were talking about, the tall, dark and handsome thing. Yeah. At what point did you find out they were referring to white guys with that?
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, that never occurred to me how that statement should probably be read.
Yeah.
Tall, dark and handsome. They meant like white guys with brown hair.
Yeah. Because tall, dark and handsome should be... Dark skinned, I guess.
And so, one of the guys in it, he's talking about, like, the moment he realised that didn't mean him. Oh. But he's like, I'm already not tall.
That whole time, he was like, they're talking about me.
He's like, I'm already not tall. Now they're...
Oh, bless him.
Can recommend if you're looking for dudes who are very dudeish, but non-toxic at the same time.
Funny about.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Kind of, they did a thing with the two guys in America, the two Italian American guys, the Tupperware guys.
I don't know what that is. Sorry.
Oh, are they? We're in different parts of TikTok. Well? Yeah,
I cannot remember last time I went on TikTok. To be fair,
It's just not for you at the moment, is it?
It's just not. No, I'm all about friends.
Friends is your current obsession.
I don't know why, but. I tell you, it's because there's too much noise on TikTok at the moment for me. I like the quietness.
It's quite hard to avoid. Sad things on TikTok at the moment.
Yep. Oh my God, before we finish, can I do a self-plug? I don't know when this episode's coming out, but if you want to join in, I am running...
Oh, I saw this!
A recommendation-a-thon in September. So if you come to my Instagram, I'm going to try and share it on TikTok as well.
This will come out in August, towards the end.
There's a prompt for each day of September, and you have to do a recommendation related to that somehow. So it's completely open for any genre and however you want to interpret it. And you can dip in and out. And all you win is, I don't know, I might do a graphic you can share. It's just entirely a fun thing to try and be creative.
Yeah.
And do something different.
Give you a little content prompt, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I might do it.
Yeah. Even if you just do one or two, it'd be fun. So, some of them are, just the colour red. So you can do, books with a red cover or books that have the word red in them or three books, one beginning with R, one beginning with E, one beginning with D, whatever.
Yeah.
You can literally do whatever you want with it. The only one that will be hard genre-wise, looking back at it, is Dragon, which is day one. But it'd
be hard to do a real life one of them.
People, you can do it. I reckon you can. Girl with the dragon tattoo. That's not
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
There's a character that acts like a dragon. I don't know. You can work it out. But apart from that, I think they're all... It's all kind of back to school Dark Academia vibes. Inspired.
The links to our writing bookstagram accounts and our TikToks as well and all that, they are always linked in the descriptions of these episodes. So
yeah.
If you ever want to check those things out.
So please come join.
Speaking of which, I want to end this episode differently. We're going to do a shout out to our socials because we don't really talk about them enough.
No, that's true.
So we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And the group is private by accident. We didn't mean to. And we're trying to kind of build that book community where we can talk to you about books. At the moment, we're not posting in there much because it's just us. We would love to have some more people. So if you're put off by the fact it's private, that's not on purpose.
We just can't change it now.
I recognise a lot of people don't really care about Facebook anymore, which is fair. We've also got Discord that you can join. And we are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We've posted one video on TikTok. But if more of you were there...
It was a good video.
More of you were there, I'm sure we would be there more. But especially on Instagram, you do get what's coming up in the episodes. Mm. You get...
Tony's really good at keeping on top of that.
I haven't posted this month, to be fair. I'm a bit behind on August's one.
That's fine.
By the time this episode comes out, I'm doing it tonight. Yeah. And then we post links to our buddy reads and keep you updated. So that's kind of the place to go, is probably Instagram for most information, especially if you're not really a Facebook user. But yeah, I just wanted to point out we have all these social media.
Come say hi, please, somewhere.
That you could come follow us on. Download, describe?
Describe.
Describe. Oh my God. Anyway.
Thank you for joining us. That was a long one. Please join us on any of those social places that Tony's just mentioned and tell us 5 toxic love interests that you think we should rate, and we will try and do it.
I'm going to post my scribbly list when I do the post about the episode going live.
We'll try and do a proper graphic as well, maybe.
I think we should include the picture of the chaos.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah,
yeah, cool.
Like when we shared that worm.
The worm pork.
Okay, cool. We will see you next week for a reading update. Bye.
Bye.